I praise God. I'm so glad you're here today. You know, there's nothing like being in the presence of God, because we know when we can worship Him from deep within our hearts, the Bible tells us He inhabits our praises. And well, what an awesome time of worship. And, you know, just the past Wednesday, you know, I knew the presence of God was so strong. The glory of God had fallen upon His children. And I asked everyone to close their eyes and just experience the presence of God. Because sometimes we rely so much on sight. It's what we see that, what we believe that what we're experiencing is based upon our vision. I'm going to ask you guys to close your eyes right now and just let the presence of God fall upon you right now. Just let His love, His joy, His peace just come forth. And as you just take it and say, thank you, Lord. This is what I desire from you. Let's just take a few seconds here just to experience His holy presence. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Jesus, welcome you, Lord. We welcome you. Praise God. All right. Well, you know, today we have a special treat. We're going to have Elder Lawrence give the word. I know he's excited because it's an awesome message. I know the Holy Spirit gave it to him. And as you let the Holy Spirit counsel you as he preaches the word, I got to tell you, you're not going to leave it the same person. We always know that we're changed from glory to glory as we receive the things of God. We're never quite the same, right, church? We know it's the Holy Spirit of God that gives us what we need to live a victorious life, a life that's filled with the blessings of God. Well, you know, before I call up my brother, I want to tell you about this word that I learned the meaning of. You know, you guys have heard of the word sophomore? You know sophomore, right? Like freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior, right? Did you know the word sophomore is made up of two Greek words? It's Sophia and moron. Did you know that? Sophia means wisdom or wise. Moron, well, we know what that means, right? Moronic or a fool, right? And you put those two words together, what do you got?
A wise fool
or a wise moron. Is that possible? And you think about that. You guys heard of the word oxymoron, right? When you put two words together that are kind of contradicting each other. And you gotta think, how can it be that there is a wise fool? But think about this. You know how this word came about? Because you know when people or students enter into high school, right? They're known as what? Freshmen, right? And they enter in, oh, they're kind of shaking, they're kind of anxious, they're kind of nervous because, you know, oh, this is high school, this is the next level up. And they shake a little bit, they don't know what to expect, right? And they're kind of worried if they can handle the work that is required of them. And, you know, they go through the year and they're probably picked on by upperclassmen and all that, but they get through it, right? Then comes a sophomore year. And usually, I remember for me, I went to Damien High School when it came to second year as a sophomore. I became a little more confident. I'm thinking, okay, now I know the ropes. Now I think I can handle this. And you get kind of a little overconfident. You also, you know, figure, hey, I can handle the schoolwork. You got the knowledge in you now, what you attained through that first year. Hey, you're thinking, oh, my chest is kind of stuck out now. My head is held up high. I can handle this, right? And here's the problem. With the sophomore, when you get a little bit overconfident and you get a little bit cocky, guess what you become? A wise fool. Because isn't it true? Just a little wisdom for someone, oh, it can be dangerous. Just a little bit knowledge. Oh, I know it all. And you walk around thinking, hey, I can conquer the world now. And so what I want to tell you, we got to be careful of this, because the Bible tells us wisdom comes from who? God. The Lord, from our Father God. And if you think you got all this wisdom, all this knowledge, and you can go and strut around and say, oh, I can do all things now because I got this wisdom in me, I got this knowledge, that's a dangerous place to be. Instead, you should be saying, I thank the Lord. He has given me all I need, all the wisdom, all the strength, all the power to live a victorious life. It comes from God. It does not come from you. Amen? Because that way you'll stay humble. It's very key that we stay full of humility of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because that way you will not fall. Because we know what happens when a person is filled with pride. A fall is coming, isn't it? So we stay humble in the Lord. Amen? And that's where God will lift us up. He will lift us up and He will honor us because our heart is in the right place. Well, the next thing I want to do, I want to tell you, it was such a glorious time when we had that baptism 2 weeks ago. Well, I have the certificates here, and I know there's only two that, you know, are here today. So I'm going to call out their names. I'm going to ask them to come on up because we know they're filled with the Spirit. They're full of the Holy Spirit of God, and I know the wisdom that they have comes from God. And they are ready to say, Lord, whatever you ask. The first person I want to call is Nanai. Woo! Soriana Maneja. Yeah. Come on up, Nanai. Present to you this certificate of baptism. Woo! Praise the Lord.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Praise God. Second person. Glenn Jermaine. Oh, come on up, brother. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And Ray got his yesterday. Praise God. And we know that's what it's all about. When we can make decisions for the Lord, we want to tell the whole world, hey, I belong to God. Because when you have no shame of the gospel of Christ, God says, since you're not ashamed of me, I'm not going to be ashamed of you. And you know what that means for us? More blessings, more miracles, more of His presence in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Now I'd like to call up my brother Lawrence. As we all know, he's a fearless elder in this church. And we know he's fearless because it's the Holy Spirit of God that's ever so present in his life. And I just want to praise God for his life because I know this man has risen up in so many ways for the Lord. I mean, I got to tell you, actually, it's all the elders. They were all shaking when they first came up to preach. But now I can see the boldness of our Lord Jesus Christ
Relax.
Is in him. And he's ready to preach to the multitudes. You know, even if it were just a group like this, 100 or 200 or 200,000, right? I know he's ready to go. Because there's the Holy Spirit in him that gives him all he needs to do the work of God. Why don't we go and stretch a hand towards our brother and let's pray for him. Let's pray. Father God, I pray right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, as you fill up my brother with your holy presence and fire. I pray, Lord, as he speaks your word, whatever comes out of his mouth, we know, Lord, will come from you. And I know, Lord, your word will give us life, the abundant life that you promise as we take in your word and live it. So, Lord, we come with a heart that is fully surrendered to you now. We are ready. We are ready to receive from you. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. Everyone says,
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
You can stand, brother.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind. Okay, forgot about that.
All right. You know what? Let's start with our word of prayer. Father God, it's such an honor and privilege to be here, Lord, to be used by you to deliver your message. I know, Lord, today's message is not light. It's kind of heavy. And I don't know why you give it to me, but I'm going to deliver it. And I pray that, Lord, you would just open our heart, open up our mind widely, Lord, to receive and accept the message, Father God, to be transformed, Lord. I pray for your holy presence to be filled in this room, Father God, overflow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love, peace, and joy on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone say,
Amen.
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 Praise God.
All right, how's everyone?
Good.
All right. Okay, so welcome to Open Door Christian Ministry. And today I'm going to talk about GPS. Okay, GPS, Global Positioning System. You guys all know what it is, right? It's a small little device, got a chip in there, you can receive the satellite signal. It tells you exactly where you are, right? So, I'm going to tell you a story, a true story, okay? So, a while back, I went for a business trip with a bunch of other guys, and we went to Washington, D.C. And one of the days that the conference ended early, so we decided, oh, maybe we can go to some sightseeing. So, you know, we went to, like, the Washington Monuments, the Jefferson Memorial. It was great seeing those things that you can always see in the picture, but now you experience it right in front of you. And it's getting late, and one of the guys said, hey, maybe we should go back to the hotel. And then, for some reason, I was the one holding the map. And I was looking at it. Okay, so we are here, hotel is here, just go straight that way. 5-10 minutes, we'll be there. So, you know, I just talking with the guys and, you know, start walking. 5 minutes pass, 10 minutes pass, and then one of the guys said, hey, are we supposed to be there yet? You know, yeah, according to a map. You know, bust out the map and said, see, we were here, hotel is here, that way. And then he kind of looked at it. Look at me. And look at it again. And then what did he do? True story. Turn the map that way. So I just, guy from Hawaii, you only know Maokai and Makai. So, you know. At that point, you know, I was thinking, you know, wouldn't it be nice that we have a GPS with me at that time? I know exactly where am I going. You know, do you guys think God knows exactly where we are? He knows. And let me share his testimony with you guys. There's from a pastor, his name is called Ken Gulp, and he has been in ministry for about 50 years, and he's, for the past 30 years, have been doing some traveling ministries, go to all different kind of countries, talk to like college students, or he has been in conventions and prisons and even in Pentagon. So, here is his testimony. Is that one day he was driving on I-75 near Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, with his wife and children. And he turned off the highway for rest and refreshment. And his wife, Barbara, and children went to the restaurant. And he suddenly felt the need of, you know, like stretching his legs. And he waited more. You know, you guys go ahead. I'm going to go get something to drink, buy some soft drink at the gas station or something. So he bought the drinks and then he walked towards the Dairy Queen or 7-Eleven. And then he was just in his mind felt that, you know, he loved the Lord, he loved his ministries, but he felt kind of like draining. He felt a burden in him. He felt that his cup was empty, just like our brother said. It's sometimes we felt like that. But suddenly he heard something ringing, ring, 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 ring. And then he was looking around. He saw a phone booth over there. It's right by the gas station. And phone keeps ringing, ringing, ring, ring. And the gas attendant doesn't seem like he heard the phone is ringing. He's still attending to his customers. And then he's mind thinking, oh, it's kind of annoying, keep ringing. And then thinking, you know, it's maybe something important or some kind of emergency. So his kind of curious mind walking over to the phone booth. He was sipping on his soft drink. And then he picked up the phone. And then he's kind of saying, hello? And then he's sipping his drink. And then on the other side of the phone, he heard, oh, long distance call for Ken Gulp. And his eye was wide open. He was kind of almost choking with the ice that he was sitting in. You crazy? This can't be. I mean, I was just walking down the road, not bothering anyone, and the phone was ringing. And then the operator interrupted. Is Ken Gob there? I have a long distance call for Ken Gob. And then at the moment, he was trying to stop his bubbling. He said, he's here. And he's still kind of trying to reason. Is that right? It doesn't sound right. I mean, I just pick up the phone. It's going to be for me. And then he was thinking, maybe there's a candid camera or somewhere. People try to film him. No, he's still kind of shaking and perplexed. And then he's just saying, how in the world that you reach me here? I was just walking down the road, and the phone just started, and then by chance I answered it. He can't mean it's me. And then the operator said, well, is Mr. Gob there or not? I said, yes, I'm Mr. Ken Gob. And then he heard another voice coming onto the line. He said, yeah, that's him. That's Ken Gob. And then that's, as he listened, that the stranger identified him as himself. He said, this is Mary from Harrisonburg, Pennsylvania. You don't know me, Mr. Gob, but I'm desperate. Please help me. And then he said, what can I do for you? And then she began weeping. And then finally, she just gained control of herself and said, I was about to commit suicide. And I just finished writing up my suicide note. But I began to pray to God. I really don't want to do this. And suddenly, she remembered Ken Gob on TV that she saw a while back. And then she just thinking, it would be nice if we can just talk to you, and maybe you could help me. And she said, it's just not impossible, because I didn't know how to reach you. I didn't know anyone could help me. And then just some number just came to me, so I just scribbled it down. And then at that moment, she started weeping again. And Ken, Pastor Ken knows, this is the work of God. So please start praying silently for wisdom to help her. You know, she continued, and she said, I looked at the number and thought, so would it be wonderful, I had a miracle from God, that he can give me Ken's number. And then I decided to call it. And I can't believe that I'm talking to you right now. And then she asked, are you in your office in California? And then Pastor Ken replies, lady, I don't have an office in California. My office is in Yakima, Washington. Don't you know where you're calling from? Where you make the call to? And she said, I don't know. I don't know what area I'm calling. Just dial the number. It was on the paper. And he said, ma'am, you won't believe this. I'm in a pay phone in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Then she said, really? Well, what are you doing there? And then he kind of joking, well, I'm answering the phone because it was ringing. And then knowing this encounter, you know, Pastor Ken started consoling the woman. And she told him how desperate her situation is and how frustrated she is. And the presence of the Holy Spirit just overflowed the phone booth and gave Pastor Ken the wisdom beyond his capability. And in a matter of moments, she prayed the sinner's prayer and met the one who would let her out of her situation into a new life.
Amen.
And Pastor Ken, after that happened, he walked away. He felt like, oh wow, God is so good. You know exactly where I am. And at that moment, not just where am I, at that moment, where am I? And the woman dialed the number at the right time. While he just walking back to the restaurant to meet his family, he was thinking, should I tell my wife and children, will they really believe that really happened? But he can't contain it. God is so good. God knows exactly where we are. Praise God for that. And you know, God, he can see everything. Sometimes maybe we try to hide. We say, oh, maybe God don't know where we are. Remember Adam and Eve? After they ate the fruit, they tried to hide. It didn't work. It didn't work. The beginning of the creation, it's not going to work now. You look at the notes here, Psalm 139, 7 to 8. So, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. And you know, God not only knows that physically where we are, he knows that emotionally and spiritually where we are. He knows when we are hurting. We live in a fallen world. We see suffering around us. We can experience it ourselves. As the scripture said in Genesis 3:17, said, and to the man he said, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree, those fruits that I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All of your life you struggle to scratch a living from it. The ground is cursed. And you know what? No one is immune to the hurt or pain or agony. You know, some of us may try to ignore it. We just sweep it under the carpet or shove the skeleton in the closet, out of sight, out of mind. We are hoping we just give our silent treatment to our hurt. It will go away. That's what we hope. In the scripture it says, Psalm 39, 2-3, but then I stood there in silence, not even speaking of good things, the turmoil within me grew worse. The more I thought about it, the harder I got. No, it doesn't go away. It's just going to get worse. Or maybe you try to hide it. We hide it by wearing a mask. We are not ignoring it though. But that movie that we title it ourselves, I Am Hurting Badly, it just keep playing and playing in our mind. We are thinking, no one understands what I'm going through right now. I will just deal with it myself. And this is especially true for guys. You know, it's kind of like a macho thing. We have a hard time asking for different direction. And how we're going to ask others to help us to deal with those invisible pain in here, inside. Nobody can see it except us. You know, we may try to hide it under laughter. And some may even hide it behind alcohol. The scripture said, Psalm 32:3. When I kept things to myself, I felt weak deep inside me. I mourn all day long. So we're just going to get more depressed. And it's not going away. Now, everyone hurts at some point in our life. You may be a child unwanted by his parents, or broken relationship once it was sweet and full of dreams, or wife abandoned by her husband for a younger woman, or husband found out his wife's heart is no longer his, or a father lost his job, it is already late for his rent, or loving parents of a prodigal child who rejects every good intention from them, or passed away of a loved one that once we hold so dear to us. Illnesses, chronic pains, terminal disease, or abuse by someone that we love and trust, or a mother regrets giving up her baby while it's still in her womb. And it just last night, I read an article and shared my wife with you. And you guys heard about China, the one-child policy? And you know, in the United States, we use ultrasound technology even for the pro-life group. They say, oh, yeah, see the baby, there's a baby inside. You don't want to take it out, it's alive. But you know, in China, same technology, they use it for evil. They said people are passing out flyers on the street to those pregnant women, and they go into a back alley somewhere, go inside a van, and then they check the gender of the child. And then it's a girl, most likely, you know, they didn't want to abort it. And, you know, and if she decided to take that life away, she walked into another van. It's just hurtful. Imagine the mother later on thinking about what could happen to the child that she killed. You know, in the article it says since 1971 in China, it has aborted 336 million babies. And you know, I was looking that up. 2012, our population here in the United States, 315 million. Scary number. 336 million babies were killed. So, the hurt, the list just go on and on. Everyone has its own version of burden that they have to carry. You know, we may seek help from the world, but what the world do? They try to turn our hurt into something that is measurable. I remember last time when I went to the hospital to pray for someone, and I saw in the room, there's a pain chart over there, from 1 to 10. I guess when the doctor or nurses come in and the patient says, oh, I'm hurting, you know, you tell, okay, I'm at 4, 3, or 9. You know, you think about it. Doctors and nurses, they don't know physically how much pain we are having. Do you think we can deal with the pain inside us? The bruise in our heart? Just like an X-ray machine. Sure, we can show you a broken bone. Can he tell you how rude your heart is? Or hurt inside? Can he tell? I don't think so. Medication. It may be able to numb our pain temporarily. It may be able to put a blindfold on us so we don't see that bad movie that's keep on playing in our mind. But you know what? Only that blindfold prevents us to see everything else, everything around us, even including our loved ones. The movie keeps on playing. And we can just wear the blindfold for the rest of our life. You know, we need something more. We can't rely on the world. We need someone that can really understand us, what's going on with us. We need someone to love us unconditionally. I need someone that will not abandon us or forsake us. We need the power from out of this world. It can renew our mind. It can heal the bruise in our heart. Who do we need? We need Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, sometimes we ask God, why me? Why me, Lord? I can understand. Maybe this person here is hurting. Maybe because you just want him to draw back to you. He's backsliding. Or maybe that person there under trial, because he's a lukewarm Christian. You want to strengthen his faith. And then you ask yourself, why me, Lord? Why me? I ask you to come into my heart. I love you. I praise you. I worship you every day. I lead people to you. I tie to my church. I volunteer at my church. I'm doing your kingdom work. I understand that I'm not perfect. But do I really deserve this? Lord, it's me, your servant, your child. Can you hear me, Lord? Lord, can you hear me? Why don't you answer my prayer, Lord? You know, I felt that I'm having a Job 23:8 now. But if I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. You know, we thank God for our friends. They try to comfort us. They make our load lighter. They pray for us. They gave us a temporary escape. It's like catching a glimpse of sunshine during a bad storm. We praise God for our friendship. But when a friend leaves you, when the sun goes down, when darkness comes, and when we are all alone, our hurt no longer drowned out by the noises around you, or by the businesses, or the busyness from our daily activities. The hurt starts putting out. The pain, the sorrow, the agony once again overwhelmed us. As time goes on, your friends wonder, why can't you just snap it out of it? They may tell you, time will heal. They even remind you, Joseph and Job in the Bible, you know how they come out victorious after all their sufferings? You know, they have been waiting for their days to come. Every day they wake up. Oh God, maybe tomorrow. If tomorrow comes, think this day after tomorrow. You get exhausted emotionally and physically. You are hanging by a thread. you're questioning yourself. Is this something wrong with me? Maybe I'm not part of God's will. Was I created by mistake? You know, you gotta understand, number one here, Bible, it doesn't promise us a painless life, but see, if you look at John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. See, in this world, is that not that you may have, is that you will have tribulation. And we need to get over that. We got to understand that. And you know what? God knows. God knows we are hurting. Look at Psalm 49:9. It said, he who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? Not only our Father God knows that we are hurting, but you take that seriously. Psalm 56:8. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Jesus knows and you heard him. And number two, it said, beware of traps and schemes deployed by the enemy. You gotta watch out when you're hurting. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Stand fast in faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. See, when we are in adversity, the devil tries to tend to be going strong on us. You know, when we're suffering, it's about all about, I'm hurting. I don't want this anymore. I don't like that feeling. I don't know what to do. It's all about I. It took our focus away from God. And Satan, he's a master of deception and lies. He will try to paint a picture of hopelessness in us. We need to recognize his attack. We need to put on our armor of God. We need to submit to God. Look at James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from you. Amen. Number three, we don't give up. In no circumstances should we give up. There's no way we are going to give up. You know, have you guys heard about, I'm sure you guys do, Thomas Edison? Mm. He's the one who made the light bulb. Yeah. And you know, he made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts inventing the light bulb. And the reporter kind of asked him, he said, so how did you feel? Failing 1,000 times? And Edison replied, oh, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was invented with 1,000 steps. You know, just think about it. Thomas Edison is so passionate about a light bulb. A light bulb that doesn't love him back. Imagine our Father God. Do we just pray 5 times, 10 times, and give up on him? 30 times?
That's good. Amen.
100 times? No, he loves us. We don't give up. 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, we keep praying. Don't give up. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. We ask, if it doesn't happen, we don't give up. We seek. Nothing happened, know, we just kick up another notch. We knock. We keep going. We don't give up. And let me share this parable with you. It's in Luke 18. It said here, then Jesus told the disciple a parable to show them that you should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain time there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that he gets justice so that he won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the just judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cried out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that he gets justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Give up is not an option. No way as a Christian, as a child of God, we should give up.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, number four, cry from the hell, from the hurt, not self-pity. We weep not because we are blaming God. We weep not because of what we have done. Or we weep not because we don't want to. You know, Peter, you look at Luke 22, 60 and 62, is that true? But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, it's okay to cry, to let your tears fall. Peter did that. No, he was the one that promised Jesus, I'll go with you anywhere, even to the prison, or even death. I'll be there with you. But you know, unfortunately, at his darkest moment, his flesh took over. He weep, but he repent, and he came out strong. Knowing Acts, he was full of fire. He was preaching, performing miracles, even suffering. He's still rejoicing, because he's rejoicing. Because he was suffering, is worthy for the Lord. And even Jesus wept. He saw the broken heartness, the heartbrokenness of Lazarus' sister. Our God, our Creator, he doesn't have to cry. He knows what happened after, but he shows his compassion. He is not just a mean God up there throwing thunderbolts at us, not caring about us. No, he is compassionate. And once I read a patient with terminal illness, he wrote, first I cried until no tears left. I wrapped my arms around Jesus. Then he wraps his arms around mine. Okay, number five, pray without ceasing. in the Bible, as I said earlier, actually for the parable that I just said, let me just read the first verse here. He said, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." In James 5:13, here it said, "Is anyone among you suffering? What should he do? Let him pray." Romans 12:12, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing." We just gotta keep on praying.
Amen.
Number 6, "Our God is with us, and He rules, and He rocks too." Okay, Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and be of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." He's always there for us. No matter what happens, we can always count on Him. Not anybody, but God, our Father God, so loved us. 1 John 4:4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you," and who is that He? Jesus "is greater than He who is in the world." And who is the little, small He? That's Satan. Romans 8:31, "What then shall we say to this thing? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God, the creator of the universe, is on our side, do we need to fear? No. Do we need to worry? No. He knows where we are at. He knows when we are hurting. We just gotta trust in Him and never, ever, ever give up. We pray 1,000 times, millions times, never give up. Okay, I'm going to end up here with a video, and Pastor Ben will come up later on. Pastor.
See my sins, but look on me with but because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
Why don't we praise God for that message that was presented by our elder, Lawrence.
Give him glory.
Now I got something to share with you. You know, after that message was spoken yesterday at the park, Elder Lawrence came up to me and said, Pastor Ben, was that message too heavy? And I told him, you know what? I'm going to show you someone. I kind of showed him this person who was wearing a white cap. And he just came to me like 10 minutes earlier before Lawrence came to me. And he shared with me, he said he was at the bus stop. And, you know, I guess there's been a lot of problems in his life, things he's been going through. And that's why he hadn't been coming to the service on Saturdays. He was a regular. He normally came every week. And he told me, he said, Pastor, the reason why I'm here, because I knew it was God telling me, you got to go to this service. And he said, what I just heard from Elder Lawrence is exactly what I needed to hear. It helped me so much. It healed my soul. And he said, Pastor, I'm going to be back. And I'm like, oh, praise God. And you know what our brother just shared with us? Are you convinced that our Father God knows exactly where you are? You better believe it. He needed to hear this message so much that this message gripped his soul. And he realized how much he needs God. And you know, I know Elder Lawrence said, GPS, we all know what it means, right? Global Positioning System. I like to think of it as God Positioning System. Because you know what? He positions us to be exactly where he wants us to be so that we can receive his blessings. Receive the things that he wants for our lives that we know we will be victorious. Amen? And it's up to us, are we going to choose the way of God? Because he gives us that choice. Amen? So think about this. Remember what I said earlier about sophomore? Remember a wise fool? The thing is, we got to choose the ways of God in order to receive his blessings. If we don't choose it, if we think we're so wise in our ways that we can live life according to how we want it, then guess what? You're going to be a sophomore. You're going to be a wise fool. And you know what? I know when I was a sophomore in high school, you know, people told me, you know, now that you're second year in high school, you're a sophomore, and guess what? You're going to suffer more. A sophomore suffers more, right? Think about that, and that's what it is. If you are a wise fool, if you are a wise fool, you are going to suffer more. Because you know what? You're emptied out of the blessings, the presence of God in your life. Do you want to remain empty like that and suffer more? Because you know what? God says, I'm going to come and show you what it means to have the abundant life in my Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. And we got to say, Lord, I choose to live your way. I want to embrace your word so I can truly know what it means to be blessed. It's a choice we make, amen? Because if we don't go that path, yes, you are going to go on a path that leads to destruction. You're going to go on a path that will not receive the blessings from heaven. Simple as that. We choose. And if we choose God, watch the showers of blessings that will be poured forth on your life. It doesn't stop. It keeps getting better and better. And I know so many of you can just come up right here and give testimony after testimony of what God has done in your life when you surrendered to Him. It's all real, brothers and sisters. Don't we know that that is all real? Isn't it? That God keeps on blessing. And you simply come with a heart that says, Lord, I'm all yours. I'm all yours. Amen. Why don't we go ahead? Let's bow our hearts before God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the message that was spoken through our elder Lawrence today. What a powerful message, Lord. And we know, Father God, truly, you position us for success. You position us for victory. It's up to us. Are we going to walk in your ways? Are we going to walk in our own ways? It's our choice. And I just pray right now that your Holy Spirit will come right now. Come ever so powerful. Ever so present, Lord. Just come right and fill this entire room with your presence right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, as your Holy Spirit comes and speak to us, we're going to say, Lord, I'm done. I'm done trying to live life my own way. I'm going to turn to you and give my life over to you. Will you have my life, Lord? Because I'm ready to surrender. I want to give all of me so that more of you can come into my heart, into my life. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now, brothers and sisters. Don't hold back. Let Him speak to you. Let Him tug at your heart to the point where you say, Lord, I am yours. I am yours. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, don't resist. Don't deny Him. Say, Lord, I'm reaching out to you. And if that's you, you're reaching out to the Lord and you say, Lord, I surrender. With all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, can you simply raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm ready to give my life unto God. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Say, Lord, I am yours. I am yours. I am your child that wants to be deeply loved by you. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised. More importantly than anything, Lord, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, oh, I need you, Lord. I'm depending on you with my whole life. I'm trusting in you, Lord. Father God, will you just fill them up right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Fill them up overflowing of your goodness, overflowing with your joy, your love, and your peace. And Father God, will you just write that right into their minds, right into their hearts, letting them know that you truly have positioned them to receive your blessing. You have positioned them to receive the miracles that you want to pour forth in their lives. And you have positioned them to receive eternal life. You have positioned them to receive more and more and more from you. Praise you, God, for I know you got a purpose and plan for every one of us in this room. And Lord, we say, Lord, we hook on to you. We're going to go wherever you want us to go. We're going to trust in you. And we just want to receive from our Lord God and King, because you give so abundantly. We want to receive from you, Lord. Our lives belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your soul, come from deep within your heart. Know that Father God, He is listening right now. And if the Holy Spirit is truly tugging at your heart, once again, say, Lord, I surrender. Say yes to Him today. Don't wait. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you're ready to give your life to Jesus, say yes to Him. And as you do, your life will be transformed as you live His Word. And if that's you, you're saying, yes, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to surrender. I want to give my life to Jesus. Just raise your hand and say, that's me. Praise God. Anyone else say, that's me. I say yes to my eternal Savior and King. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. All right, you put your hands down. Let's pray this prayer together, family. Let's pray together knowing that Father God, He's listening right now. Just repeat after me if you really mean this from your heart. Say, Father God,
Father,
I need you.
I need you.
I give you praise for who you are.
I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
And
I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ.
Who died for me on the cross.
But on the third day,
He rose again.
And He lives in my heart.
I give you praise for that.
And Father God,
I
confess that I'm a sinner.
But your word says,
if I confess of my sins,
you are faithful and just
to forgive me of my sins
and cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Cleanse me now, Lord,
and make me holy and pure unto you.
So now I say this.
So you can hear me, Father God.
And so that everyone can hear me.
And so that I can hear myself.
And so that the devil can hear me.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
I live for Him.
And I live for Him only.
Father God,
write my name
in your book of life.
For I give you praise.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Jesus' name.
And everyone says,
Amen.
It's awesome.